Now, our Old Testament lesson today tells about the chaos that was Job's story. Chapter 1, Job is living a normal life, but then comes verse 15. Job reminds us that marauders come and take away his flocks. Verse 16, lightning devours his cattle. Verse 18 and 19, a desert twister sweeps his sons and daughters away, and he is left in ruins. Five verses. And there's really nothing left to Job except he's still alive. But if that's not enough, then he suffers great bodily pain. There's no place on his body that doesn't have sores. He becomes a physical wreck and a social outcast. Perhaps we think, God, what are you doing here? Here's a man who was totally dedicated to you, who lives a clean and a decent life, and now is treated so unjustly. And as we plead our case for Job, we're secretly pleading the case for us, aren't we? I live a good and decent life. Why are you treating me so unjustly? How unfair can you get? And God doesn't seem to be doing anything to help Job. Job just as easily could have cried out like those disciples in the boat, Lord, don't you care that I am dying? And we finally read, 37 chapters later, our lesson for today. Then, after 37 chapters of peril and suffering and pain and everything going on, then God answered Job out of the whirlwind. I marked out its boundary. It's the storm's boundary, the things that's going on in your life. I marked out its boundary and said, this far, storm, you may come. And no farther. Here is where your proud waves are going to be stayed. God is in control of what seems so uncontrollable. God is more powerful than all the worst kinds of chaos and trouble, no matter how they come to us. Yet the disciples had a story. Jesus had a story. Job had a story. And we have our story as well. Storm clouds have gathered in our nation and in our world. Just think of all the things that have upset the smooth sailing of the past. As we observe the daily news, it may seem like chaos has certainly broken loose and we are like the disciples, fearful of what is going to happen next. Are we all going to go down with the ship? Will the storm swamp us? Do we even want to stay on the ship? We're tempted to ask, well, whatever happened to the smooth sailing of the past? Let me assure you, there has been no smooth sailing in the past. Not since sin entered our world at the Garden of Eden. It's always been rough going. It happens in our world. We see it and perhaps feel it. It happens in our church. It in the church, it happens when we hurt one another. Or when our congregation kind of struggles because of non-committed or less committed members, and we wonder why are they here? Good. It happens when we get distracted from God's word and worship and prayer, and we let all kinds of trivial things take over our lives. Why, what color should we paint the fellowship hall? And we tear ourselves apart. It happens when we prefer to hold grudges rather than seek reconciliation. When we are burdened with our guilt, which, by the way, means we probably did something wrong. When we are burdened with our guilt, our uncertainty and our doubts, these are the storms that we face daily. It's like having the waves crashing over us. You know, oftentimes the church is described as a boat, and all the believers are sailing in the boat. That's why we come up with terms of a ship, like stewardship and fellowship. I don't think that's true. I just said that. But the idea of being in a ship is a wonderful term for the church. And as we sail together in this boat, sometimes it's in rather calm waters. More often than not, it's like we're sailing through a storm. I don't know what your other congregation or your other facility was like. You know, a lot of churches, especially Lutheran churches that were built before 1970, I suppose, you know, all had a huge peak. And if you turned that building upside down, it looked like the bottom of a boat. That area that we sat in and still sit in is called the nave, another nautical term. We are all sea people together. That's a good thing. But just to assure you, God is not responsible for all the chaos in our lives, but he helps overcome the chaos that Satan wreaks in our lives. God tells us again and again and again. It seems we need constant reminding. I'm still in the boat, riding with you. And God uses these storms, and he doesn't bring them, he uses them to strengthen us and to bless us. When God appointed Joshua to lead the Israelites ultimately out of Egypt into the promised land after Moses had died, God's word to Joshua was, "Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's God's word to us too. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. God is with you wherever you go. Yet God is not out there somewhere in the blue, somewhere in the great unknown. He's right here, right here in the boat with us. How cool is that? He's with us as the chaos is raging around us. And the storms sometimes feel like they're getting worse and worse. He's with us in the midst of all these perilous situations. But he's not subject to them. Yeah, Jesus wasn't joking when he promised that he would be with us till the end of the age. That's a promise. It's a sacred promise. Our baptism declares God's love for us and his continued presence in our lives. Baptism, you think about that, like a washing over of God's Spirit in a good sense. Baptism is God's promise to ride with us through the storms, bringing his peace and calm and serenity into our lives. He may not always stop the chaos, understand? But he supports us, and he gives us the strength and the peace that only he can give. In fact, even when death will take us from this life here on this earth, he's there, waiting for us, ready to welcome us to our heavenly home. So, when we're sucked in, washed up, and blown over, and it seems like the song in our hearts has been silenced, our challenge becomes very, very clear. Our challenge, be assured. Have faith. Be assured that Christ is with you, in your boat, sharing your storm, and even at times speaking to your stormy chaos, be still. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.